I'd like to welcome everybody to Silverado Park on the west side of Long Beach, my home park. Had to say that. Welcome you to the ICTF JPA meeting. What I'd like to do is, first of all, I'd just like to welcome my colleague from Port of LA, the president of Port of LA, Cindy Misikowski.
Thank you.
Welcome to the board. Okay, Madam Secretary, can we have roll call, please? There you are.
Board Member Zogby.
Here.
Board Member Shrive.
Here.
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 Great, thank you. Okay, we have minutes from the previous meeting. Has everybody seen the minutes? Can I get a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any corrections, any comments on the minutes? Seeing none, can we have a vote? All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Let's see. Okay, we'd like to have the public is invited to address the commission at this time, but what we'd like to do is everybody who is going to speak, hopefully you've signed a speaker card or will go back and sign up on a speaker card. And what we'd like to do is, since I think most people are here to speak on item six, we'd like to hold those people who are going to speak only on item six till after the presentation on item six. What we'd like to do is, I'd like to call Mr. Thiessen, ask if there's anybody who wants to make general comments or comments on any other of our business this time.
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
We have a number of speaker cards. Most of the comments did not...
Can you move the microphone a little bit better? Yeah.
How's that? A little better?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
None of the comment cards, except for one of them, mentioned the item that they wanted to speak on, so I'm assuming most of them are on item number six.
We'll just ask.
Is this on? Okay. Can I just ask if there's anybody who wants to make comments, just general public comments or comments on items one through five, but not number six? Anybody? Okay. Seeing none. Okay. We'll go on with the meeting then. And what we'll do is we'll have public comments on item number six after we've made the presentation. Okay. Our first item of business is election of officers for this fiscal year 2009-2010. Any nominations?
I would like to nominate Nick Ceramic as chair of the JPA.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any comments? Okay. Hearing none, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. Okay. I'd like to elect or nominate Cindy Misikowski for vice chair. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. Okay. Do we have any other officers? That's it? Okay. Okay. The next is a recommendation to adopt an annual budget for fiscal year 2009-2010. Mr. Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The proposed budget for 2009-2010 is in the amount of $5.3 million. The majority of the budget costs are proposed in the amount of $3.3 million, primarily for legal and consulting services in connection with the proposal to modernize the ICTF in the application prepared by Union Pacific Railroad. The larger other portion of the budget is $1.9 million, which is being held in reserve for the city of Carson for certain capital improvements on the street adjacent to the ICTF. There are additional miscellaneous expenses itemized in the proposed budget on the attachment. I'm available to answer any questions, and our former executive director and the Port of Long Beach's chief financial officer, Sam Jumblot, is sitting behind me here and can answer any other questions on the agenda. The recommendation is for the board to approve the budget as proposed.
I just had a question in here. It looks like from our adopted budget last year to what the estimated actual is was mostly due to the delay of the EIR and other things that go along with the EIR. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. The large portions of the funding that had been approved in the previous year's budget are shifted to the proposed budget to conclude the preparation of the EIR.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other questions?
I noticed in the 08-09 budget, the $1.9 million for the capital improvement for City of Carson, is that just a carryover for this year because it wasn't expended, or is it a second amount?
It's a carryover.
And do we have any estimation as to whether or not or how that will proceed? Is it likely to be built this year?
The Carson folks have had some delays caused by their preparation of environmental documents. So we've carried this over for a number of years, and I have not any new information on the expectation when that will be spent.
Okay. Any other questions?
I'll move the approval of the budget.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any comments on the budget? Okay, seeing none, have a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, the next is recommendation to approve distribution of funds received for 08-09. Mr. Thiessen.
Thank you. The recommendation on distribution of funds accounts for revenues that have been placed into the reserve account for the ICTF balance. As is customary, the governing board votes for distribution of these funds. There is a sum of $8 million available for distribution, which would be equally distributed to the Port of Los Angeles and Long Beach. There's a recommendation for the governing board to authorize distribution in the funds in the amount of $8 million.
Thank you. Any questions, comments? I'm sure you and Geraldine appreciate that.
We do thank you, and I would just ask that it leaves a balance sufficient to for operating expenses and carrying on the business of ACTA for the coming year.
Yes, that's correct. Each year there's an accrual, and we do leave a ending cash balance approximately $3 million to carry on routine business for the coming year.
And that includes everything, including EIR and everything that we'll need funding for?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the distribution of funds?
I'll move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Okay. Any comments on this item, on item number three? Okay. Seeing none. We have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. The motion passes. Next item is the financial audit. Mr. Thiessen. Again.
Thank you. The Macias, Ginny, and O'Connell, the outside auditor, has completed its financial audit for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2008. Should be an attachment to your board item with a copy of the audit. Some of the summary of the audit includes that operating revenues for the fiscal year decreased approximately 6.2% in the amount of $8,339,856. Net assets increased to $24,151,671, and that's primarily due to a large delay in the distribution of cash in the previous year. Container volumes for the San Pedro Bay ports, as many of us are keenly aware of, have decreased approximately 5% to a total of 15.1 million TEUs for the 12-month reporting period ending June of 2008. There was a consequent decrease in volume through the ICTF of 4.9%, and the container volumes are down to 679,993 containers. We're recommending the JPA board receive and file the financial audit period prepared by Macias, Genie, and O'Connell for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2008.
Great. Thank you. Any questions? I had a question just on container volumes. Are the container volumes at ICTF basically following what the decreases are at the two ports, or the volumes look like they're staying up better than the decreases are less than what our volumes are decreasing?
Yes, and I would caution you that this is a reporting period through June of 2008. So next year, when we come back for a similar report period, it's likely these numbers will show even further declines.
Okay.
But this 5% or 4.9% decrease largely mirrors the reduction in container volumes seen in both ports during this reporting period.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, seeing none. Can I have a motion to approve the audit?
Move to approve.
Second.
Thank you. Okay, any comments on the audit? Seeing none, we have motion second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Motion passes. Thank you. Okay. Recommendation to receive and file agreed upon procedures for year ending November 1st, 2008. Mr. Thiessen again. Busy tonight.
Thank you. And this is the last of the more administrative items, number five. Again, Macias, Ginny, and O'Connell have completed their review of the ICTF net revenues, and this is for the year ending November 1st, 2008. So it's a little bit different reporting period, revenues versus the container volumes. In this report, there were 633,953 gross container moves, generating 19,018,590 in gross revenue. This was a year-over-year decrease of 10.5% from 2007. The ICTF collects gate fees, less allowable deductions, resulting in a net facility revenue of $15,141,358 to be equally shared by the authority and the Union Pacific Railroad. On November 5th, Union Pacific transferred 50% of that, or $7,570,679, to the ICTF investment account, accounting for 50% of these revenues. Final draft of the net facility revenue is attached. The auditors and the JPA staff have reviewed this and are in agreement with the results. We're recommending that the governing board receive and file the draft net facility revenue report for the year ending November 1st, 2008.
Great. Thank you. Can I have a motion to receive and file?
I just had a question. How is it that this report is based on a different year model than the audit? And is this something that is done every year, or is this a one-time reconciliation?
I'm going to ask Mr. Jumblot to answer that question, because I had a similar confusion on the different reporting periods.
Contractually, that's the way it has always been done, and contractually that's what's required. As of November 1st, and then immediately after that, Union Pacific transfers the funds to the JPA. So it is consistently November 1, and that's contractual.
But our audit report is done from fiscal year ending June 30th, so it's July to June.
That's correct. And the auditors continue their effort beyond the typically the audit starts late anyway, and that has been the tradition. But the auditors look at the year ending June 30th, and they look at differently the agreed upon procedures. They look as of November 1st for verification of the revenue, the gate moves, and any adjustments as of that date.
Okay.
I know it. It's confusing. Any other questions, Geraldine?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Dick? Okay. Let's see. We have a motion and a second already, correct? Okay. We had a motion? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. We did.
I'll move.
Okay.
No second.
Don't want to miss it. Okay. Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any comments on this item? Okay, seeing none, we have a motion second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. Okay, item number six, this is what we're here for, is the status report on the preparation of the EIR for the proposed ICTF modernization project. You going to lead it off, Mr. Thiessen?
Yes, thank you. Tonight with us here are members of the staff of both the ports of Los Angeles in Long Beach Environmental Planning Divisions. They are going to be giving an oral update to the JPA board on the status of the preparation of the EIR. As you are aware, AQMD has been retained by the JPA to prepare the environmental document, and members of their staff are also in the audience. I'm going to turn the microphone over to Ralph Appy, Dr. Ralph Appy from the Port of Los Angeles, and Rick Cameron from the Port of Long Beach to give an update on the status of the EIR. Following that, we have numerous speakers who would like to, comment on this item. And at that time, I would read their names from their comment cards and ask them to come to the microphone.
Great, thank you. Just remind anybody who hasn't signed up who wants to speak, please fill out a speaker card and just have someone bring it up here. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners. I'm Ralph Appy. I'm the Environmental Director for Port of Los Angeles. And with me is Rick Cameron, who's my counterpart at the Port of Long Beach. The connection here is that we serve as staff, technical staff to the JPA. And so all the EIR preparation, therefore, would go through our staff for technical review. So consultant work comes through us, and we review it, and we coordinate that work as kind of, if you would, project managers. And so I'd like to add to that, recently we did do a staff change here, and I have present here tonight, Lisa Oshner. Magnetic personality, I guess. We have Lisa Oshner here who, in the audience, Lisa, can you stand up? She is technical project manager.
Maybe you need to move her weights.
Yeah, for JPA. And she actually is a staff in my office, the Port of Los Angeles. And so she is the one that actually is doing the day-to-day coordination between the port staff and between the consultant on this, AQMD. And she has a lot of experience, not only with CEQA, but also is working on the SCIG project for the Port of Los Angeles, which has a lot of synergy. So, because one of our big issues is to making sure those two documents are done using the very same assumptions, and also so when we do alternatives analysis that we have very similar documents. We're also, by the way, planning on having those documents come out approximately the same time. So we think that's really necessary in this case.
Do we have an idea of when that is?
Yes, I was going to get to that.
That's okay. You can get to it then.
Okay. Kind of threw me off there. kind of a status approach on this is that the EIR is being worked on. We have a lot of the main sections already written in draft form.
Why don't you try, Can you try that other one?
Is it?
Yeah, we keep getting an echo out of that one.
You know, Doug didn't have the problem. Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah. We do get along. So the EIR preparation, kind of a status report on where that is. We have many of the sections done, draft sections in, they're being reviewed. There are three main sections that are the ones that will have the longest lead time, and those are traffic, air quality, and noise. And those are the three big sections that are going to take us the longest to do. And so when you do these analysis, the air quality and them, they all rely on the traffic analysis as a basis. And so recently we did have some change in the cargo forecast. We're still looking at a high capacity number, but we had to change some of our traffic modeling. And so we've now completed that. And so we now have the task of doing largely a lot of the actual CEQA preparation of the chapter for the transportation, but also the air quality analysis. And that's the big lead time item. And so right now we're anticipating taking that into account that we'll have a document next spring for review for everybody. Complications with this document is it's very complex. As you know, there's two intermodal yards being assessed at the same time right next to each other, and that's added a significant complication, plus the work on the traffic and also the coordination issues with two different lead agencies, if you would, preparing separate environmental documents. So that's largely responsible for the project delays. I hope that responds to your to your question. Will there be additional hurdles kind of in going forward? We always get asked, get nailed down to the exact date of when an EIR would be laid down. That's very difficult to predict because we always are coming up with new issues that we have to deal with. We do think that we will have it out next spring, but whether it's April 2 or April 28th is something difficult for us to predict right now, so we're just saying spring. I don't know if there's any other specific questions you might have at this time. Rick, you have anything to add? So that kind of concludes our brief presentation.
Ralph, you did ask, you did say something about there was some new update or new data on the traffic side. Where does that come from, or who's done that analysis?
It's not necessarily new. It's a reanalysis looking at the new cargo projections.
New cargo
projections. And also, more than that, there's some intermediate years that we have to analyze, and so we ran all that information a second time, if you would, probably a third time, and that then forms the basis for the rest of our analysis, particularly the air quality analysis.
How is that?
That information, by the way, is generated in coordination with both ports based on the overall cargo throughputs at the port under old projections and new projections.
And given that two EIRs are being done simultaneously by two different agencies, is the baseline the same for both of them? I mean, have they sort of gotten? I don't know if they got started exactly together. So if one jump started the other, is the baseline data the same?
The baseline will be different for the two projects. The ICTF is an up and running existing project, and so its baseline takes into account at one point in time the activities going on at that terminal. The BNSF project, on the other hand, is really the baseline is the existing activities that are going on that land, which is, for instance, CalCartage is a major transporter that is out there using, and so they kind of form the baseline for the project. So they're very different baselines. But the things that need to be really very similar are the assumptions that we use, the traffic assumptions, air quality modeling assumptions and all those, and it's really great having actually AQMD working on the document because that will be certainly unquestionable, the assumptions used in the air quality analysis.
Ralph, at one of the earlier meetings, we talked about, during one of these meetings, talking about what the alternatives were that are in the document. So it sounds like you're far enough along that you've identified what the alternatives were. I didn't know. I kind of was expecting your usual PowerPoint show now. So
right. We are looking, and that's actually one of the things we're still working on. As you call, CEQA documents are a little bit different than NEPA documents. We do a lot of NEPA documents at the two ports that require a co-equal analysis of all the different alternatives. These documents are strictly CEQA documents. They're going to be a little different from that. We still will be looking at some comparisons, and we're looking at the no project alternative, the proposed project, a reduced project alternative, and now we're in discussions on some other alternatives, including alternative technologies that could be applied, and also the use of on-dock rail, maximizing on-dock rail as an alternative. And so some of those, we're still discussing the feasibility of those. And just to be honest with you, one of the complications with the on-dock rail is that one of our project assumptions is that the on-dock rail would be maximized at the ports. And so that is a basic assumption. So in some regards, that kind of reduces it as an alternative. But still, we think we need to have that discussion in there, a full analysis or discussion of it, if you would, so that everybody's aware of all the details of on-dock rail. How much can we cram onto on-dock rail so that they're comfortable with the fact that that has been will be achieved?
How are you handling the SR-47 and the EIR?
I think we're looking at two different analyses on that, with and without the modernization of it.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions?
Mm-hmm. Okay, could we go to public comments? Mr. Thiessen, would you... Rick, do you have anything? We may come afterwards. I have a lot of questions after the people talk.
I would just ask Dr. Abbey if anybody from AQMD would like to make any comments or hold those comments, or we don't need any comments from them at this point. Since they're in the audience, I didn't want to have them not contribute some comments if they wanted to make any.
Probably.
It looks like they're comfortable not making comments at this point. Okay.
We talked to AQMD about supporting us on any follow-up questions either by the board and or the public.
Okay. And I'd like to also just quickly recognize that Long Beach Councilwoman Tonya Reyes-Yaronga is in the audience. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Thiessen, go ahead. Remember, you have people have 3 minutes, and please, when you come up, just identify yourself.
Mr. Chairman, we are going to go through the order of comment cards as they've been received, and I would ask any of the speakers who have not filled out a comment card, please go to the back table, fill one out, and we'll have it brought up here, and you'll have your opportunity in the order it's received. The first person is John Cross from the West Long Beach Association.
You want to call the second person?
Yeah, following Mr. Cross will be Elena Rodriguez. She's a West Long Beach resident. And following Ms. Rodriguez will be Ms. Lopez.
First of all, on behalf of the West Long Beach Neighborhood Association, I'd like to welcome the commissioners and the directors of both ports to West Long Beach, and I'd like to thank you for bringing the meeting over here. Our neighborhood has the direct impact from the ICTF terminal, which is a project you guys are responsible for. And we do know something about pollution in our area. We just received a prestigious award from the AQMD for community service, keeping our air clean. So we do know a little bit. We've been fighting these battles for years. As you know, I'm opposed to the expansion of this project, and I've been since day one, and I'm opposed to building the SCIG project because of the major health impacts that are imposed on our community. We got some of the highest asthma rates of kids in the neighborhood. The ICTF yard currently is the third dirtiest rail yard in the state of California, according to California Air Resources Board. And they tell us that we got to spend $400 million to clean it up. But we got to expand it when we clean it up and take it from about 700,000 lifts a year to about 1.6 million. And that's quite a few lifts. And if they build the SCIG project, which is just south of that, that's another 1.5 million lifts. That's quite a few lifts. And I wanted to challenge Mr. Appy. I know he did some research. Well, I heard him say Cal Cartage. I don't think Cal Cartage is going to have anywhere near the truck traffic that SCIG project will. None whatsoever. And they're cleaning up because they've got to, well, I guess because of the clean truck program, they've got to have clean trucks in their facility. So I don't think it's going to be anywhere near what the SCIG project would be. So I wouldn't even use that as a comparison. We're talking about a million to maybe 100,000 or something a year. But we're opposed to this project due to the health issues it imposes upon our kids and our neighborhoods. and this the project can't go through as it is. But the ports are both being commended for putting more on dock rail. I know LA's putting on dock rail. Long Beach is putting more on dock rail. And if the downturn in the cargo traffic going through the ports of LA and Long Beach, it may not come back for a long time. And with your on dock rail, there may be enough capacity to handle what's coming through the ports of Long Beach and Port of LA. If ICTF wants to expand about 1,000,000 or 900,000 lifts a year, and Middle Harbor Project by itself would do 1,000,000 like the numbers I've read, why do we need ICTF to expand? Why don't they just clean up their facility? But they say, no, we got to expand our facility to clean it up. Well, you know, if I got a house and it's dirty, I don't have to remodel the house or tear it down and redo it to clean it up. You can clean it up without tearing it down and remodeling. And they can do that to their facility. Clean it up so we got clean air for our kids and for our future kids that come along and the grandkids. But these projects, neither one of them are good, and the ports are both be committed for on-dock rail. And that's what we've always asked for all along, on-dock rail. There's property out there, and if the expansion comes through, you know, it's going to affect our neighborhoods and destroy our neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cross.
Next speaker is Elena Rodriguez.
My name is Melissa, and I will be translating.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Elena Rodriguez.
Good evening. My name is Elena Rodriguez.
Y gracias por permitir venir aquí y decirles mis preocupaciones.
Absolutely. Thank you for allowing me to be here today.
Yo vivo en el oeste de Long Beach, donde ya estamos siendo fuertemente afectados por la contaminación.
I live in West Long Beach, where now we are feeling the effects of the contamination in the air.
Y hay razones muy poderosas por las que este proyecto no debe seguir adelante.
There are powerful reasons as to why this project should not continue on.
Primero, nuestros niños están sufriendo las consecuencias. Ellos están expuestos a contraer enfermedades como y problemas como problemas respiratorios y asma.
Our children are suffering the consequences to this exposure, and they have certain illnesses such as physical problems, such as respiratory and asthma.
Y hay evidencias que demuestran un impacto significante en correr el riesgo de contraer cáncer debido a la existencia del ICTF.
There is evidence that associated with cancer due to the expansion of the ICTF.
Y tercero, la electrificación de las vías ferroviarias y la promoción del ferrocarril en el muelle son una buena solución de reducir la contaminación del aire.
The electrification of the rail yards and the promotion of the on-dock rail on the dock is a good solution to reduce the contamination in the air.
Las soluciones verdaderas y limpias existen. Úsenlas.
Real solutions to clean solutions do exist. Please use them.
Esta es mi comunidad, y mi comunidad no quiere proyectos que hagan daño a nuestras familias, como lo haría la expansión del ICTF. Gracias.
This is my community, and we do not want any of these projects that are going to cause in our communities that are going to cause damage and that is due to the expansion of the ICTF. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Maria Lopez, and following her is Maria Reyes.
Hello. same. My name is America, and I'll be translating for Ms. Lopez.
Buenas noches.
Yeah.
Mi nombre es María Yolanda López, y vivo en Long Beach.
Good evening. My name is Yolanda Lopez, and I live in Long Beach.
Mi hija tiene 28 años, tomando medicina para el asma hace 20 años que lo está haciendo.
My daughter is 28 years old, and she's taking medicine for the asthma, and she's been using the medicine for 20 years.
Es cierto que la medicina le ha ayudado, o sea, los sprays que ella usa le ha ayudado, pero también le han perjudicado.
It is true that the medicines, the sprays that she's been using, have helped her, but they've also caused her damage as well.
Porque el usar los sprays tanto tiempo perjudica al sistema.
And for using the sprays for a long period of time, it also has caused her some damages.
Mi hija ha llegado al extremo de que su doctora le ha dado la máquina que usan en los hospitales para que ella pueda, en un ataque de asma, no vaya al hospital, sino que ella lo haga en su casa.
To the extent that her doctor has given her a machine to take home in the event that she has an asthma attack, so not that she has to go into the hospital for the treatment, she could do this treatment at home.
En una ocasión a ella le mandaron un tratamiento, pero desgraciadamente el tratamiento que a ella le mandaron la empezó a hinchar.
And one occasion the doctor had given her a treatment, but the treatment had caused her some damage and made her swell.
La apariencia que ella empezó a tener era de que subía mucho de peso. O sea, ella se veía muy así, pero anormal. Entonces eso nos espantó mucho.
The causes were that she looked like she was gaining weight, that she was becoming looking like she was gaining weight, but that also scared us extremely.
La vida de los niños, adultos, jóvenes, de verdad que es bien difícil con el alma que ellos tienen, es muy, muy difícil para ellos.
The life of children, adults, and youth that have asthma is a really difficult life.
Porque cuando ellos están contentos, tristes, tienen depresión o están muy, ¿cómo se dice?, estresados, a ellos les viene un ataque de asma.
So, reason being is that when they're happy, they're sad, they're stressed, they're nervous, they get asthma attacks.
O sea, ellos lo que sienten es ahogarse. Sus pulmones de ellos luego se cierran y no pueden alcanzar el aire.
Because they get an asthma attack and their lungs start to tighten and it's difficult for them to breathe.
Les doy las gracias por su atención.
I thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Maria Reyes, followed by Roberto Reyes.
Hola, buenas tardes. Okay. Hola, buenas tardes. Mi nombre es María Reyes.
Good evening, my name is Maria Reyes.
Could you pull the microphone a little bit?
Yes.
Further. Okay. Thank you.
¿Cómo somos afectados? Tal vez ustedes se preguntarán, pero no sé si alguno de ustedes vive por aquí cerca del West de Long Beach.
We are affected, and perhaps you may ask yourself, if not, if you live in the west side of Long Beach.
Por ejemplo, yo vivo aquí muy cerca de donde pasa el ferrocarril y a veces no sé qué transportan. Por un tiempo permanecen unos containers parados sobre las vías.
For example, I live close by. I live by the on-dock rails, and sometimes the transportation And for some time, the containers would stay on the dock, on the dock rails, and terrible smells would begin to come out from the containers.
Y también la mayoría de las personas que conozco, ellas o sus hijos, tienen asma o problemas respiratorios.
And also, a majority of the people that I know and their children also have problems with asthma and respiratory issues. Excuse me.
Yo pienso que no necesitamos más expansiones de yardas y más camiones y trenes cerca de nuestras escuelas y los vecindarios.
I don't think it's necessary for the yards to expand. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I don't think that it's necessary to expand the yards and the trucks passing by the schools.
Bueno, podría decir mucho más. Lo que pido es una solución a todo este problema, el cual no he visto mejorar. Ni áreas limpias, solo promesas.
Okay. I could say much more to pose a solution to this problem. I haven't seen any improvements to clean the area. Only promises. Excuse me.
Gracias por su atención y su tiempo.
Thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
Good evening to all you guys. My name is Roberto Reyes, and I am a resident of West Long Beach. I have some few questions, which they have previously been answered, but I have like different wording for it. How does the ICTF plan on making more jobs available for the community if the imports and exports are low right now? How does the ICTF plan on reducing the outcome of pollution that is will come out of this rail yard expansion? Is there any alternative options instead of the rail yard expansion, or is the ICTF just looking for what will create the most profit without caring about the outcome and effects it will have on the environment? And this is my sister. She told me that she goes to school at Hudson, which is right next to where the ICTF wants to expand. She notices that at her school, there's moving and a lot of things that are going on. And finally, I have a sister that attends the Hudson School, and this that when the project may take place, is she tells me how they spend money on air purifiers for their class. Now, this would cost more money for providing more air purifiers instead of programs, books, and field trips that they can be used with this money. So they're spending money on air purifiers inside their classrooms because the amount of pollution that's coming out from the trucks and the rail yards. And she wonders, like, why don't they expand somewhere else? Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, we have five more speakers signed up. Okay. The next is Ben Rockwell. Following Mr. Rockwell is Evelyn Knight.
You know how to handle it, don't you?
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ben Rockwell. I do live here in Long Beach. As most of you already know, I do have severe lung problems. In fact, less than 40% of normal lung function. There are many people in Long Beach that have these problems. Many, many people that must use breathing machines at night. Many of us are on oxygen, as well as all the kids that have their asthma and people with severe asthma. Some of my friends are getting worse each year with their lung problems. But what I would like to know, I've heard said many times that the magnetic rail has been offered for us to get the goods out of the port at no extra charge to the port and for transportation. Someone has volunteered the monies and the grants for putting this in and getting it going. But yet I have not heard it mentioned that it was going into effect. And I would like to know, how long is it going to take for us to get a truly clean air method of transporting the goods from the port to other transportation facilities, so that those of us that are forced to live here because we cannot afford to move, we're living in subsidized housing, or others that are working are living in conditions where they can't afford to move, they can't afford to change their jobs, and therefore we are forced to live in one of the most polluted areas in our state. We need to have something done to get the trucks off of our highway, out of my backyard, living within 3 blocks of the 710 freeway. Is no fun place to live, just equally the Middle Harbor being right across the freeway. This is going to affect my life. Yes, in another 15, 20 years, things will be cleaner, but is there anything being done that will make it cleaner now? I know there's some mitigation funds, but even so, there's no guarantee. We haven't heard yet when we can start applying for the mitigation funds so that we can get air filters, air cleaners out to those persons who really need them the most. We don't know when we're going to be able to have things so that our kids, our seniors, and others that are affected by poor lung and pulmonary problems will be able to live a better, cleaner, healthier life and be able to breathe clean air at night or during the daytime without wondering how many days, how many months, how many years before I take my last breath because my lungs just give out. It's been too much. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rockwell. Before Evelyn comes up, I'd like to just, I think the mitigate, you want to talk about that, Rick?
Yeah. Mr. Okay. Commissioner, Mr. Rockwell is referring to the Port of Long Beach cumulative grant mitigation program that was developed as part of Middle Harbor. It's actually independent programs. Staff at the Port of Long Beach is currently working on the solicitation materials. And we're hoping to have that those materials out by the end of the year. That also anticipates the creation of the advisory group, things of that nature. It's independent from this JPA and the ICTF project. So I just wanted to clarify that it's related to a Port of Long Beach program, but we are working on that.
Okay, it's coming out soon, real soon. Okay, next is Evelyn.
Following Evelyn Knight would be Mr. Jim Larson.
Good evening. Members of the Joint Powers Authority Commission, my name is Evelyn Knight, and I'm a member of the West Side Association as well as the Interfaith Community Organization. And I'm a longtime pollution experiencing resident of the West Side, and also my family who experiences asthma and other disorders due to the pollution. I want you leaders to adopt a pollution-free strategy for the residents of the Long Beach. I stand ready to work diligently with anyone who is going to be about these efforts. I would like to see the strategy to be driven by a realistic and common sense approach to questions like, do we need this massive expansion of the railroad in our neighborhood and next to all of our neighborhood schools when we have a viable option of on-dock rail to handle cargo? Do we need more pollution when the railroad has refused to clean up its existing problems that it's created in the mess and just really ignored the needs of our community to have a pollution-free environment? This is contrary to community needs. Do we have the needed data to support more expansion and the consequences of this activity on the neighborhoods and the economy? Do we need to expand the railroad's activity when we are in the deepest downturn in our economy since the 30s? On October the 17th, the LA Times reported a deep dive in imports in Long Beach and LA and said some cargo firms may go under. Do we need to be in a hurry to make bad decisions and waste good resources in this time of uncertainty? We need to use this time to take a deep breath of clean air and get our polluted house in order. Can't we do this together, please, and save our lives and our economy? Have we looked at all of the things that we can do and we should be doing, or we just want to run on and just do something just because we got something going on? We need to really think about what we're doing and save our lives and be about the business of people, our neighborhoods, our community, and not just think of someone who wants to lay just another egg when we give all the ham. Thank you.
Thank you.
Following Jim Larson will be Angela Logan, and following Mr. Logan would be Maria Hernandez.
Good evening. My name is James Larson. I'm a longtime resident of the west side of Long Beach and a parent of a child that goes to St. Lucie, which is right in that area of the freeways and the, close to the facility, ICTF facility. And you are the ICTF Joint Powers Authority, and you have the power and the authority to decide the fate of this project. If I may steal a line from a movie, with great power comes great responsibility. So I ask you, who are you responsible to? Are you responsible to the railroad, to the port, or to the people, to this community? As a parent, I have power and authority with my wife in my house. If my child leaves his toys out, won't take care of his toys, and then comes to me and demands that I buy him new toys, I'm responsible to put my foot down and tell him he's not going to get new toys until he takes care of what he has. This might be an oversimplified analogy, but that spoiled child who won't clean up his room is Union Pacific Railroad. They're right here in this community. They want to expand, but they won't clean up what they already have unless they are allowed to expand. They came in here a year ago, sat right where you're sitting. I was standing right where I am, and they told me that. They won't clean up the facility unless they're allowed to expand. You offered them credits and rent. You gave them basically free money if they would clean up the facility as it is right now, and they declined that. They are the spoiled child. They cannot be allowed to bully this neighborhood any further. They need to be made responsible for what they already have before we would consider expanding. Nowhere are you allowed to do this. Okay, not in private business, nowhere are you allowed to recklessly behave and then be given some promise that they would change their behavior if they're giving, credit and things like that. So I propose that this board table the EIR consideration until, one, they clean up and go green on what they already have, and two, the levels of containers coming into the port warrant an expansion. And that's my suggestion. I hope you take it to heart, and thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello, Mr. Chair and members of the board. My name is Angela Logan, and you know, I was going to come up here and suggest specific things related to the EIR, but after hearing the previous speaker, I really feel like he makes some very good points. That one, the railroad should be required to clean up their mess, not just at the ICTF, but also at their existing rail yards that showed high cancer risk that was studied under the Air Resources Board and the HRAs. And so they should be required to do that before expanding to reduce their emissions and reduce their cancer risk. And that before considering the expansion of ICTF, that we should really look at the throughput at the two ports and see if they really warrant the expansion of this facility. And so I think that those ideas that were expressed by the previous speaker are probably the best solutions and best way to move forward. But if you're going to continue to conduct the EIR, I would make some specific suggestions. It's related to the throughput. Or at least the first one, and that is that in the analysis that we should really look at the needs and purpose of this project and relate that to the latest numbers in terms of throughput at the ports. We should compare those numbers and the needs and purpose and analyze them and compare them to the impacts to the local community and weigh that out and to figure out if that the project still meets the needs and purposes of the initial project. Also, I really feel that the project should look at, or the analysis should really look at cumulative impacts. I heard from staff earlier that you're looking, are doing both the SCIG and the ICTF EIR, not jointly, but at the same time. And so we should look at the cumulative impacts of both those projects combined, as well as the truck traffic that they will generate. Also, in the analysis of the alternatives, we should not just look at maximizing on-dock rail, but looking at maximizing on-dock rail with new technologies, such as like on-the-ground stacking technologies at the ports as an alternative analysis. And we should also look at regional impacts from promoting the increase of truck traffic and locomotive traffic throughout the region. And if the analysis is looking at truck pollution, does the assumptions in reduction of truck pollution assume that the CTP is going to be completely successful, the Clean Truck Program, and looking at the court challenges and the different settlements, do the assumptions with the Clean Truck Program jive with the assumptions of this analysis? Thank you.
Thank you, Angelo.
Okay, Mary Hernandez. And then following Mary is our last speaker of the night, Jesse Marquez.
My name is Mary Hernandez. I live in the West Side practically all my life. I'm 76 years old. And I wish you put the trains in the port. Don't bring them here. It affects our West Side. It affects the people here. The thing at night, I live on Hayes, close to where the trains go by, over there by Freeway 103. I can hear them at night, clanking, and their motors running. Can you imagine that? If you build, expand, can you imagine that? I wish you keep the trains on the port. Los Angeles and Long Beach, because it affects everybody here in the community. And you leave things alone. Don't expand, because it affects our people. Can you imagine kids get sick with asthma and it's close to Hudson School, St. Lucie's, Webster School? Can you imagine? next door. These kids, they have to have, in Hudson, they have to have air filters. Then what? All they have to do, all you people have to make money. Forget about the West Side. That can't be. Don't expand. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Good evening, members. My name is Jesse Marquez. I'm executive director and founder of the Coalition for a Safe Environment. We have members in over 25 cities in Southern California and throughout, especially the harbor communities. The first point I'd like to bring up is that we would like to request that ICTF, the JP authority, since you have not elected to have a fifth voting member, that we, the public, be allowed to hold a public hearing to nominate and vote for a public member to fill that position. We feel that it's irresponsible to not have a full body of authorities who could represent the public's interest. In the past, there has been no public member of the JPA, and we feel that now is the time to do that. You have intentionally decided and voted not to do that, and we're asking that we be provided that opportunity to do that. Even if it requires to change some type of rule, regulation, or procedure, then we would like to find out what is that procedure to do that. The Coalition for a Safe Environment does not support the expansion of the ICTF terminal when there are other feasible alternatives. As an example of that, even the on-dock rail currently at both ports is not being maximized. The Alameda Corridor, which was designed to handle freight, is not being maximized. Even today, even last year, it was only at 60 to 65%. And the spin that the ports put on this and the railroad industry is that you have room to grow. We don't want you to have room to grow. We want you to fill it to capacity now. If you were to require in your lease agreements that all terminals maximize the use of the Alameda Corridor, then we would not have to be expanding the ICTF terminal because we'd be able to cover it right there. At a previous Joint Power Authority meeting, Ms. Miskowski has not been at the previous meetings, but we also recommended that there be an alternative intermodal facility location. And the location we recommended was the Toyota Import Car Services Terminal at the Port of Long Beach. Now, we're always being told that there isn't any property. Well, in this case, we have thousands of cars spread out over numerous acres. That does not have to be. At a previous meeting, we pointed out that you could build 2 to 3 parking structures, 4 to 7 stories each, and the cars could be parked in the parking structure. Another little wimpy excuse that was mentioned to us later, the acreage wasn't large enough. While there's acreage all around that that can be added to that terminal, right now you're even talking about, and you actually have a, through the process of an EIR, for an import aggregate rock facility. So there's acreage right there. So we feel that if there's the will to do it, we have the place to do it. And even though that terminal lease net may not be up now, we have the time to plan. Right now, there is a dip in the container volume, so now is the time to begin that renegotiation process. And that is something that we would support. You've also heard that we also support alternative technologies in terms of cargo transport, via it be electric train, or via it be electric cars, and truck combinations, or freeway combinations, or maglev trains. That is the direction the public is asking. We've already asked Union Pacific that they should embrace one of these technologies, and if they should do so, we support it. Union Pacific has already told us that they would allow a test track prototype to be built to test it out. As already been mentioned, there hasn't been a company that's even volunteered to pay for it to be done. The only thing that was holding them up was the Port of Long Beach granting a 20-foot right-of-way. One of the terminals has already agreed that they'd be willing to put 400 containers a day to test it out. UP has already said they're willing to allow it to be built to test it out at their facility. We want to move forward on it. I know you're doing some other RFPs out there to test other conveyor systems. You're dragging your feet. We want to move forward on those systems. We don't believe there needs to be just one demonstration project. If it takes 2 or 3, then we want you to support 2 or 3 technologies. The port's revenues, each one of you makes anywhere from $400 to $700 million a year in net profits. We, the public, are saying use some of those public funds to support those prototypes. And if it takes two or three to do it, we want to do it. If it takes a year to 2 years to do it, then we're willing to wait 2 to 3 years to do it. But we want you to suspend all progress on the ICTF EIR right now until you have met those public requirements. Thank you. Oh, and one other thing, too. I'd like to ask UP right now to tell us anywhere in the United States, any state, any city, any county, any community, where they have already invested money in building an all-green facility. And the answer is not one. They're trying to hold us ransom to go ahead and hold us hostages to go ahead and approve our project. Well, prove it first. Invest the monies now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Marquez. Go ahead, Mr. Appy. You want to make some comments?
Yeah, I think between Rick and I, we would like to respond to some of the comments tonight. And these are very significant issues. We've had scoping meetings on the project before, and the issues are very significant and remain the same, I think, and particularly relative to the health concerns. Some of the specific items discussed, we heard tonight, were looking at the two projects together. In fact, we are doing a cumulative health risk assessment for both projects. That's actually one of the reasons why the EIR is being a little delayed, because we have to do all the analysis in both of them, and then we're going to combine them and do a quantitative health risk assessment of the two facilities, so we have a really good idea of what synergies might be between the operations of those two facilities. Also, in regards to the CalCARTES baseline, we are assuming implementation of the Clean Truck Program. So that is the baseline we're considering. So CalCARTES and their future operations there would not be old or dirty trucks. It would be as if they were using trucks that were part of the Clean Truck
Program. Under the no project alternative.
Under the no project alternative. So you have a good comparison of what would happen. So we're not highlighting, if you would, the pollution. We're looking at a very reasonable scenario for what would happen if the project wasn't put in place. Cargo projections is a very important issue. As you know, the ports have released new cargo projections, which show what we all can observe by looking out at the freeways and at the port terminals. And in fact, we are going to use that analysis in our needs assessment for the project. And so when this EIR comes before you for deliberation, you're going to have that information in front of you. Exactly why do we need this project? And that will be, I think, really important for you to see. So we're doing that analysis, and that will be included in the document. I might add also that to really emphasize the significance of the project emissions and the mitigations that might be necessary, we're going to look at the higher level of project, so we make sure that we don't underestimate the amount of emissions that could possibly come through. We're going to look at the capacity, the maximum capacity that could occur at those terminals, so we make sure that we've done a reasonable or a worst case analysis for this. So you'll have both things to look at. You'll have kind of the maximum capacity and what the effects are and the mitigations, but then also in the need, you'll be able to look at the need under these new project projections.
Ralph, did you want to mention about the workshop tomorrow night?
Yes, there
especially
is a workshop.
Especially related to on-dock rail.
Yes, it's being held in our boardroom between 4 and 6 p.m.
It's Boys and Girls Club?
I'm sorry, 5 and 7 p.m.
Oh,
in our boardroom at the Port of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And that is really, it's not kind of a testimony sort of meeting. It's more of a workshop format where we're going to have a presentation on cargo projections. It's kind of cargo projections 101, if you would, and rail projections, and talk about how cargo moves in and out of the ports. And then we'll have a question and answer period following that. So anybody interested in coming to that, you're certainly welcome. So that's 5 to 7 p.m. at the administration building at the Port of Los Angeles.
Okay, did the location get changed? Because I have Liberty Plaza,
yes.
So I want to make sure everyone's got it.
Yeah, we just changed it.
Okay.
The harbor of Los Angeles, the Port of Los Angeles administration building.
Can you give an address?
425 South Palos Verdes in San Pedro.
Across the street from the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah, that's good. Some other things we hear a lot of talk about, especially is analysis of alternatives. And the document we'll be looking at, as I mentioned earlier, any alternatives that might avoid reduce environmental effects, including the on-dock rail issue. How do we maximize our on-dock rail? There's also going to be a discussion of some advanced technologies, ranging all the way from a whole system of advanced technologies also to looking at either as an alternative or applied as a measure the use of very clean trucks that might come here, including low emission fuel vehicles, but also possibly even electric trucks. So we're looking at that will be included in the document to the port, I mean, that you'll be reviewing. Health effects are a no-brainer. That is something of the highest importance and pretty much a major focus of the project, although you can't underestimate the comments you heard tonight about the sleep deprivation that may occur due to noise and also lighting in the area. So those are also very important issues that are going to be discussed in the document. The health effects, using AQMD as a consultant, I think, is very valuable to this project and will assure a very good analysis. And so when you do have the project before you and try to make a decision on this, that you're going to have this needs issue plus all the environmental information that you need to make sure your decision is the right one for you to make at that time. So you'll have that information in front of you. One of the speakers also mentioned a pollution-free strategy, and I think that's valuable. I think to a large extent, the ports are very serious about that. In fact, we have approved our Clean Air Action Plan, and that is really a large portion of what that Clean Air Action Plan is about. We've set standards in it, and I want to mention also tonight about pollution reduction. We are seeing significant reduction from our clean truck program already, which is benefiting, I think, the communities here at this time. And so we still need to do more, but those are things that are ongoing as well that are, at least on the port's behalf, I think, proactive.
There was one other item that was mentioned, one of the commenters, about the CTP and how we assume that in the project and throughout the document. I would just like to make clarity to the board that with the CTP or without the CTP, the California Air Resources Board has also adopted two rules. One is specific to ports and rail yards, and it meets the same standard. Matter of fact, their first phase of that ports and rail yard rule comes into effect in January 1st, 2010. The next implementation date for that is 2014, which meets the 2007 better standard. So with or without a CTP, that's a regulation that would be assumed in the document through our analysis. I'd also like to mention the statewide rule that CARB has put in place as well. So just wanted to respond to that.
Rick, do you want to, while you've got the microphone, do you want to talk a little bit about the zero emissions container movement system, request for proposals? A number of people brought that up in their comments, and you might want to just kind of give
kind
a status.
Kind of where we are?
Yeah.
Sure. I'm not personally handling that at Port of Long Beach, but it is a joint effort between both ports. There was a solicitation that went out back over the summer, and Eric Shin, Director of our Transportation Plan at Port of Long Beach, is heading up that effort. We originally wanted the proposals to be submitted, I believe, mid-September. We were requested by many of the potential proposers for an extension of time. We granted that, and I believe that ends next week. We'll be having those the proposals deadline for submission. From that point forward, I know there's been a lot of people eager about what type of proposals are going to be coming forward. We'll be putting together a summary and at least giving notice to the respective boards and the public about how many proposers and what type of proposals are out there. It's going to have to go through a formal review process, and I'm not sure how long that will take, but at least we'll be able to provide some summary of where we are with that process.
I had a question of staff. There were statements to the effect that unless a project is approved, there would be no cleanup at the current facility. And I was wondering, with the Clean Air Action Plan and other regulatory authorities, whether or not there were going to be mandates or cycles which would be in effect or come into effect, which would give regulatory requirement to clean up the current condition, and who and where and how would that be enforced?
The clean trucks that I just responded to in terms of where CARB is already set
beyond
rules.
Clean truck.
Probably cargo handling equipment. CARB also has a rule making in place to deal with cargo handling equipment. I think our cleaner action plan goes a little bit beyond that. We have a little more aggressive on what we're requiring. However, a cap or no cap, there is a regulation in place that the existing operation would have to comply with. In terms of locomotives, I believe the switchers, there's the EPA, there's the federal rulemaking that's been in place, was recently put in place, and there's particular phasing of when
up a little bit.
When the class ones would need to comply with that in terms of upgrading their switchers within their operation as well as the line haul, the larger power that they use. So there are existing regulations in place, but they're out further. So if the question is, how can we clean up the existing operation in terms of just looking at regulations? That's one. In terms of cap measures, I'm not sure necessarily whether the ports in particular, unless something came up that we could, I guess, would affect their current lease, maybe we would then be able to maybe implement certain cap measures without the project. But
I think, as you recall, when the cap was approved, there were a bunch of strategies that were used. And the one that is perhaps one of the strongest ones is through lease negotiations. And so when a lease has to be opened up, that is really a great opportunity then to apply mitigation measures where we have authority to do that. So I think a lot of the speakers referred to that tonight. Gee, it would be better if we could just apply all those without that lease. And I think there is some reality to the fact that we do have power through the lease negotiation and adjustments to the facility. So that is, I think, our number one major way of cleaning these up.
And what is the existing term of the current lease there?
Gee, that's a good question, Tom. The current lease is still has over 20 years, my understanding is.
How long?
It's over 20 years, I believe, the UP.
About 25 more.
25.
Yeah,
it's 25.
Yeah. It seems to me it's really this EIR that gives us the ability to deal with some of those issues.
Right.
Yeah. The way I understand it is that with the current lease, we can't require them to really change anything unless the regulatory change is required. But if there was a new contract, then we could, implement measures, whatever we want to do with that.
And just an example, our environmental documents now include in excess of over 30 different mitigation measures dealing, in the case of the cargo terminals, with ships and other things, but they're very, very stringent. And so my guess is these documents, the mitigation measures, are going to be very stringent as well. And so you can go on to our website or the Port of Long Beach website if you ever want to have a look at our recent documents, either on the Port of L.A., the China shipping document, or TRAPAC facility has very stringent mitigation measures for air quality.
Any other business before us? Mr. Thiessen, anything else?
I do have one question just in general. Being the new member and coming tonight with the meeting having been set, what would be the next time this board would meet? What would be a cause for us to meet again?
That's some good. I ask that question all the time. sorry. I think, we probably need one within a few months to catch up on the status of this again, but otherwise it's basically event-driven.
So it's an as-needed basis when events or issues come up that cause.
Yeah.
There's not a regular meeting.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Doug, is there...